This is World Cricket Weekly Talk, presented by Teachers Blended Scotch Whisky, the spirit of achievement. Nigel Reid alongside Zubin Sukari. And we've been talking about funding issues. Well, there are funding issues, and then there are funding issues. Because if you think it's bad in Canada, try looking south to our southern neighbours, where the governing body of US cricket, USACA, is in big trouble with the International Cricket Council. I understand, and we're going to get confirmation on this in a moment, that USACA have had their funding suspended by the ICC. Now, the ICC, as we know, tells them what to spend their money on, but clearly the ICC are not happy with the way USACA are governing their game.
Yeah, it takes a bit of effort for them to, to actually go through that, so it must be fairly serious, compliance issues and all that. But yeah, not something that the U.S. Cricket Association can afford at this point. So they're going to have to get back on track.
Let's find out what the nub of the problem is. Here is Peter Della Penna, U.S.-based cricket journalist in New Jersey. Welcome back to the show, Peter. What on earth is going on, in a nutshell?
Well, basically, the matter of USACA has not held their elections, which were constitutionally mandated in 2011. They didn't hold an annual general meeting in 2011. And you can't do that and still expect to receive your funding from the ICC. They've got a set list of criteria that each member governing body is supposed to fulfill. And if you fall short of those obligations, they're going to cut out your funding. And that's the predicament USACA has got itself into. So the ICC finally put their foot down and said enough is enough.
Did not USACA or somebody responsible for the governance of US cricket see this lumbering over the horizon and said, you know what, guys, we probably should have an AGM?
The USACA board of directors, for people who may not be aware of the situation that's been taking place over the past year, they've engaged in a series of stalling tactics to delay the elections and, some people's view, manipulate the elections through a compliance, member leagues compliance audit, in which the board has claimed that leagues are not following through on their obligations in terms of, among other things, membership payments. And there's speculation as to whether or not some leagues are actually proper leagues or whether or not these leagues are just fictitious and bogus and made up, and are they actually playing games or are they just forming leagues on paper to seize the opportunity to get a vote in the USAC election. So they initiated this compliance audit, but it wasn't finished by the time November 30th came around, which was constitutional mandate for when elections must take place, and they just kept on stalling and stalling, and nobody really put their foot down in terms of saying, hey, this isn't right, you guys need to knock it off, we need to have elections, and now it's come to this.
Well, it's quite an extraordinary tale that you tell there. I mean, clearly this isn't something that's happened overnight. It's been brewing for a decent amount of time. Do we know how much money we're talking about as far as the ICC contribution to USACA is concerned? I mean, how much is it actually costing them, and does anybody care?
They issued a press release a few days ago stating that the funding that's set aside annually for USACA, or at least for 2012, is $285,000, and the payments that come from the ICC to member boards are done in quarterly installments. So at the moment, unclear whether or not USACA will be able to recoup that money if and when they become compliant with ICC regulations in terms of holding an AGM, which is supposed to take place today, whether or not that funding is lost for good. Because when USACA was suspended in 2005 and in 2007, while they were under suspension, full suspension, here they just had the money suspended, but they're still eligible to, nothing has been said in terms of whether or not they're banned from participating in tournaments, which is what happened in 2005 and 2007. But in those previous full suspensions, when their funding was cut off, they did not have a chance to recoup that money retroactively. So any money that they were due to receive in 2007 that they didn't get under suspension, once they were welcomed back into the ICC fold in 2008, they were not entitled to recover that money.
Right, so there's history as far as USACA is concerned and a rocky relationship with the International Cricket Council. That much is clear from what you've just said there. On top of all this, there's legal action going on as well against USACA?
Correct. There was a lawsuit filed by one of the presidential candidates, Ram Varadarajan, as well as one of the member leagues that had their voting rights stripped after the results of the compliance audit on February 26th, I believe. The compliance auditor and a Texas attorney by the name of Robert Chan relayed his results to the board. The board then took a decision to ban 32 of the leagues from voting. California Cricket Academy was one of these 32 leagues. They were a plaintiff in dispute with Varadarajan, and they were seeking a preliminary injunction to get a stay of the elections to prevent them from happening today, so that the 32 leagues that were disenfranchised would be welcomed back and given their voting rights so that they could fully participate in the election. And the ruling was handed down yesterday, and on procedural grounds, the judge tossed the case because in her decision conveyed that a number of issues. One was that California Cricket Academy was just one league and could not represent the interests of all 47 leagues. If the other 47 leagues or the other 31 disenfranchised leagues wanted to bring about a case to USACA that they felt aggrieved or they were being injured as a result of not being allowed to vote, they should have been co-plaintiffs instead of California Cricket Academy and ROM pursuing the case on their own. That was just one of the issues. Another of the main issues was the fact that USACA is incorporated under New York State nonprofit law. And according to New York State nonprofit law, a suit can only be brought about after the election has taken place to show that you've been aggrieved or making an appeal. You can't file a suit before an election has happened. So there's still an opportunity for potential legal action to happen after the election takes place today. This is not, USACA isn't completely out of the woods yet in terms of legal action, but they did score a victory yesterday in court.
Is there, Peter, finally, and obviously this is an extremely complex issue, but if I gave you a magic wand and said, Peter, fix it, is there a process that could right the wrongs here and have the ICC say, it's okay, everything's good now, welcome on back?
What was interesting about the ICC press release is they seemed at pains to stress the fact that they weren't fully suspending USACA. USACA was not suspended. Please do not interpret our cutting off funding as suspending USACA. USACA is not suspended, and they've been very silent in over the course of the last 13 to 14 months when all the organizational problems have been taking place inside the United States. And one of the reasons why they've been so silent is because now that New Zealand Cricket has formed this partnership with USACA to try and promote and form a professional domestic 2020 league, the ICC is very keen to make sure that USACA is given every opportunity to remain in good standing in the eyes of the ICC. And as a consequence of that, the stakeholders in the USA are suffering. I mean, when you have two-thirds of member leagues not allowed to participate in the election, that's not a victory for good governance by any stretch of the imagination. And what it's going to do is really create a very, very strong divide in terms of the relationships and the feelings of people who are involved administratively and as stakeholders in the U.S., because this action taken by the board to disenfranchise 32 leagues is really going to cause a lot of ill will. And now, for the foreseeable future, people are going to just have a very hardline stance, either for the board or against the board. And the 32 leagues who are technically still considered members of USACA, they're not going to want to do anything to help USACA, promote USACA, put any good word out for USACA, help promote cricket in the U.S. in the name of USACA. Now that these matches with New Zealand and West Indies have been announced for Florida, I can't imagine people from these 32 disenfranchised leagues chomping at the bit to want to stand up and say, hey, kudos to USACA for arranging these matches, even though they really did a number on us by refusing to let us take part in what we feel is our right as a member league. So that's kind of the fallout with what might be anticipated from happening.
Open season, it would appear, from some on USACA. Peter, keep on top of this one, because this is a soap opera which is going to go on and on for some time before I think there is some resolution. But I appreciate your insight, and thanks so much for joining us on the show this week.
There's never a dull day in U.S. cricket.
Yeah, I think so, and most of it off the field. Peter, good to talk to you. That is Peter Della Penna. This is World Cricket Weekly Talk, presented by Teachers Blended Scotch Whisky, the spirit of achievement. We'll be right back.